Friends, I want you to think about promises other people have made to you. Did you get promised you'll get pocket money if your room was kept tidy? Maybe you've been given a promise of a great holiday. Maybe it's a promise that if you pass the NCA level 1 or 2, you'll get a car from mum and dad. People make all sorts of promises, and we take them seriously. Promises are important, and especially promises like to have and to hold for better, for worse, until death do us part. When we say promises to each other, we mean them. They're significant. But let me tell you, friends, when God says promises to you, that's on a whole nother level. God's faithfulness is so good, and it's his desire to fulfill all his promises to you. We've been going through the book of Joshua, and we come to that passage in Joshua where Joshua recounts God's faithfulness to all his promises. It's an illustration in the book of Joshua of the spiritful life, of the abundant life, of what it means to live in God's promises, living fully in the kingdom. Now, you've been seated for about a minute, so I'll get you to stand as I read this passage to you. Would you stand, please? Joshua 21, 43 to 44. It won't be a long reading like last week. I'm going to read it through, then I'm going to get you to say the last sentence with me together. Let me read it to you first. Joshua 21, 43 to 45. The Lord gave the Israelites the land he had promised their ancestors, and they captured it and settled in it. There still were enemies around Israel, but the Lord kept his promise to let his people live in peace. And whenever the Israelites did have to go to war, no enemy could defeat them. The Lord always helped Israel. The Lord promised to do many good things for Israel, and he kept his promise every time. Let's say that last verse again. The Lord promised to do many good things for Israel, and he kept his promise every time. Please be seated. Do you know what the name Israel means? It means governed by God. Now, we can't replace Israel. God's got plans for Israel. They're a special people. But when you are governed by God, when you say in your home, hey, my home's not perfect, we struggle at times, but we really want Jesus to be the boss. We really want Jesus to be Lord, then your home is governed by God. And if your home is governed by God, the very promises we're going to speak about this morning that were given to Israel are relevant for you as well. If you can say, in my home, we have struggles, it's not all perfect, but we really want Jesus to be Lord. We really want God to be our leader every day. Then these promises relate to you. You can put your family name in where Israel is. You could reword it like this. The Lord gave the Duplessis, the land he had promised his ancestors. The Lord gave the Nielsens. The Lord gave the Douglases. The Lord gave the Millers, the Lord gave the Jenkins, the land he had promised them, and kept all his promises every time. Put your family name in there. God wants to fulfill every single promise he's made to you. And this can be very, very personal. Now, friends, I've always been amazed by the Bible. I've always been amazed that there's so many illustrations that connect with other illustrations. Even numbers connect up, and there's layers upon layers of revelation that are so beautifully knitted together that proves that God inspired it. It's the greatest selling book year after year. It's the greatest selling book of all time, the Bible, because it's God-breathed. And when you read the Bible, it connects you with a living God, a true God. And the teachings of the Bible are very practical. Now, I'm a practical person. Boy, one of the reasons I'm a Christian is because when I look at all the religions of the world, this works. And this is true. And God's proven himself to me time and time again. Now, if you were to ask me 26, 27, 28 years ago when I was a young pastor, Pastor Russell, do you believe the promises of God? I would have gone, yes, I do. Why do you believe them, Russell? Because they're in the Bible. God's word says they're true. Now, after 29 years of ministry, if you said, Pastor Russell, do you believe the promises of God? I'd say, yes, I do. Because I've been experiencing the reality of those promises. It's not, I believe it because the Bible says so. I look back over 29 years, go, man, I've lived that. I've been through the storms and God's been with me. I've needed revelation and God's spoken. I've asked God to use me and he's used me. He's given me strength in difficult times and revelation and hope and encouragement in all seasons. I know the promises of God are true because I look back over 29 years of being a pastor and say, wow, God, I can see it. Thank you so much, Lord. And there are people in this church, you've been with God 30, 40, 50, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. And you don't look at these promises and say, that's good in principle, I believe it because God said it. You look back after 80 years, you say, I know God is good. I know he can be trusted. I've seen it again and again and again. Day after day, year after year. God is true to his promises. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is this one here, and I put this up very, very quickly. Have I got a couple of kids that can come up and decode this for me? You may not be able to see it at the back. Maybe intermediate age or a couple of older kids. Any volunteers? Thank you, Toby, you legend. You start decoding. That is a burglar, just in case you can't tell. So that's... Can somebody else help, Toby? Excellent, Anya. Grab a pen. Grab a pen. Start decoding. My favorite verse of all time, and I found this to be so, so true. You won't be able to see it at the back. Another word for burglar beginning with T. Hey, thank you for the help. We might need some old, not a couple of older people too. Okay, go thief, Anya. Unscramble this one for me. Toby, what would that word be? Or what's this word if you take out the C and you put a, take out the H, sorry, put out the H and put a C in there. Gosh, did it too fast on that this morning. So C. That'll do, Anya, that's good. That's it, go, go, go. What's this first word, Anya? Unscramble that for me. Unscramble this one, Toby. Something thief comes. She's got it right there. What would this word be? Or that word, two letters. This word, one letter. What is that, do you think? It's not a funny looking spider. Go for it, guys. No, just one letter. It's one dash on the bottom. Just about there. We might need one more help. One other helper to jump up here. Some a little bit older volunteer. Oh, awesome. 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 Thank you. Grab your pen. Good man. Thank you. My favorite verse of all time. Only is right. The thief comes only to rob. What's this dagger looking thing? What could that mean? Three words. What does that symbol mean? Three words. Murder's pretty close. Begins with K. Three letters. You've got it. All right. Destroy. I sounds like same, but it begins with C. Okay. That is a sewing needle, believe it or not. That's a T plus a hat. Go for it, guys. You got it. You got it. We've got so far... The thief comes only to rob, kill, and destroy. I came something that everyone would have. So, that's it. There we are. Perfect. That's the clue. And that's, you've got it right, Anya. Perfect, guys. Grab a chocolate bar or an apple if you're healthy from down the front. Okay? Favorite verse of all time. Just down the front there. The thief comes only to rob, to kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. I want to tell you, friends, that's been my experience. It's a verse I got from God very early on in my Christian walk, and it's been my experience. When I went farming at the age of 16, I thought I'd always be a farmer. I got bored real fast. When I went banking at 19, within 3 years, I'd learned every part of the bank and I'd become the 2IC in the bank and the relief branch manager for my branch and other banks. I got really bored. You know, I worked for Fletcher's for a couple of years and tried every department and I got really bored. Now, I'm not super intelligent, but my brain thinks fast. And so there's many, many people in this church with better minds and better memories than me, but I like to plan things in detail and I've often got two or three strains of thought happening at the same time. And so most jobs get me really bored really fast. As a pastor for nearly 29 years, I've never been bored. Never been born. I wake up and I think, boy, I can see what you want to do with Camp Moniah, Lord. I wake up and I say, Lord, I can see what you want to do with this building. Lord, I wake up and I can see what you want to do with the children and the youth and the seniors of our city. I can see how you can use this church to bless people. And the things that God shows me always have a stretch factor. There's always something new to learn, something new to do, something I've got to step out in faith to achieve. It's not like I've done it before and I can repeat what I did somewhere else. Every time in every place is a different vision. And God says, now do this and now do this. So I wake up and every day I have to say, God, I'm not bored. I'm fulfilled. Challenged at times, absolutely. Forgetful at times, often. But never bored. He came that I might have life and have it to the full. And I can tell you, after nearly 29 years of ministry, that's been my absolute experience. I look back over life and I go, God, I'm so grateful for what you've done and your faithfulness. Parenting two of my three kids was really challenging, but all three of my kids love the Lord and my three grandkids love the Lord. And my granddaughter that we raised has got such a close relationship to Jesus. I look back over life and I go, Lord, you've given me the desires of my heart. My biggest dream has been to be in a church where people just love lost people. And every church I've passed has become that kind of church. And even the dreams that aren't significant or spiritual to anyone else other than me, like being by the sea. You know, I live at Whangarei Heads. I've got 180 degree sea views from my house. That house, that was a dream of my heart. Didn't have to have it. It's not a need. But God knew my desires. I believe he put most of them in there. And he's been so faithful to me. I believe God's promises, not because the book said so, and it's always true. But I look back now over years and I go, I found it to be true. I found it to be true. Can I tell you that there's many promises in the Bible that are just going to happen? God's promises to Israel are just going to happen. God's promises to you about being with you, never leaving you, that's just going to happen. But some promises won't just happen. They take some other things to be mixed in as well. When you think back to our story in Joshua we've been going through, Joshua goes into the promised land, the spiritful life. It's symbolic of the spiritful life, the land of promise, the land of milk and honey, the land of fulfillment. He goes in with that generation. But what happened to the previous generation? What happened to Moses and that generation of people? They came up to the edge of the promised land. They could see the promised land. They could smell the promised land. The 12 spies brought back giant basketball-sized grapes, so they even tasted the promised land. Did they go into the promised land? They didn't go into the promised land. You see, God can make promises to you, and some things are just going to happen, but some things require some other elements to take place. When Joshua and Caleb, they saw the promised land, they looked and they said, this is a piece of cake. God is with us. Who can defeat us? It's ours. We'll step out in faith, and we'll walk now into the promised land. We'll take it. Did it happen instantly? No, it took 7 years. To take the promised land. 7 years of battling. 7 years of determination. But there was another group of people, a whole generation of people. They heard the same reports back from the 10 negative reports and the 2 great reports. And they said, woe is me. I can't do it. I know God's promised us this kind of life, a spiritual life, a fulfilling life. I know he's promised it to us, but it's too scary and we can't do it. And we want to stay over here. So what happened? They missed out. I'm going to give you an illustration I pray will stick with you. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 19 says this. Why did those people miss out on the promised land? It was God's intention to give Moses' generation the life in the promised land, but it didn't happen. Hebrews 3 verse 19. So we see that they were not able to enter because of their, turn to the person beside you, what was missing? Wasn't their greed, wasn't their selfishness, wasn't their sin? What was missing? They couldn't enter into the promised land because of their lack of faith. So God made promises that he wanted them to experience and fully fulfill, but the whole generation of mums and dads and granddads never made it across the Jordan into their destiny because of their lack of faith. It wasn't their rebellion, it wasn't their selfishness, was that unbelief. They heard the same messages. Moses' generation heard from the 10 spies and Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb gave the same message to ongoing generations. The older ones said, we don't believe. God said, I'm sorry, you can't come in. It's here for you. I want to give it to you, but you can't come in because of your lack of faith. But the other group did believe. Hebrews 4:1-3. The promise to enter the place of rest is still good. We must take care that none of you miss out. We've heard the message just as they did, but they failed to believe what they heard, and the message did not do them any good. Only people who have faith will enter the place of rest. It's just as the scripture says. God became angry and told the people, "You will never enter my place of rest." God said this even though everything had been ready from the time of creation. Get the picture? Our loving Father had been saying, "I want to give you kids all of this. I want to give you destiny. I want to give you purpose. I want to give you a life that's full and meaningful and powerful and rewarding. I want to give it to you." But because they lacked faith, he couldn't. They were left out of the promised land. The children heard the same message as their parents. The difference was the kids, the next generation, heard the message and they mixed it with faith. And because of their faith, they're able to enter in. Some people hear the word preached. And they hear the word preached and they go, "Gosh, the illustrations were terrible. You know, that guy's spelling was awful," or whatever. Yeah, and they look at the faults in the sermon. And they walk away and they go, "I got nothing out of it. That was useless." Other people hear the same message from the same speaker. And they listen and they mix it with faith. And they walk out different. And God changes their situation. Hebrews 6, verse 12. There's one other ingredient that God will need to bring into our lives if we're to see all his promises fulfilled. Hebrews 6:12. "Then you will never be lazy. You'll be following the example of those who have faith and were patient until God kept his promises to them." What's the other ingredient we need to mix with faith to see all the promises fulfilled in our lives? It's patience. It's patience. These guys that experienced the promised land, lived in the land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey, lived the purposeful life that they're destined for. How long did it take to get from entering the promised land to possessing the promised land? 7 years. Man, 7 years is a long time. We're not wired for that in our generation. We pray, we expect it to happen, and sometimes it does. But sometimes you need faith and you need to have patience mixed in with it. 7 years. Man, I go to McDonald's and I go, "Oh, that was good, that was fast." I go to KFC and I go, "That was painful. So long, so slow to get through there," you know? And so often in our culture, I believe we just miss out on the promise of God. We just miss out on seeing his promises fulfilled in our business or in our marriage or in our health or in our lives because we just got impatient. "God, you said it and I believed it for a whole week. He didn't come through." And it was probably only on week 2 or week 3 he was going to come through. Or maybe year 5 or year 6 he was going to come through. God's made promises to you about your ministry. He's made promises to you about your children and your grandchildren. He's made promises to you about your marriage and your business. And if you just hear God's promises, you're not going to fully experience them until you do 2 things. You step out and you say, "God, I'm going to mix that with faith. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to step out in faith, believing you're going to meet me there. And I'm going to mix that with patience." And when you put those 3 elements together, his promises and faith and patience, something supernatural begins to happen. Can I have Louise and Anna come up the front? Louise, come up the front. I'll get Juliet to supervise you 2 ladies. Louise starts school this week. It's so exciting. It is. Now, they're going to make for us a nice pudding by mixing 3 elements together. So element number 1. Is the promises of God. There's little notes at the front there. And element, what's number 2 they need to put into the cake mix to get a nice cake out of this? Patience is number 3. What was number 2? Faith. Promises of God. Then they're going to mix a little bit of faith. That's this milk over here. Then they're going to mix in some patience. That's the chocolate biscuits over here, chocolate nuts, okay? They're going to throw it in the microwave for 5 minutes, and by the time the service is finished, this place will smell really nice. That's my hope and plan, okay? So mix away, young ladies. They want to see the promises of God fulfilled. We want to see the outcome that he has for our lives. And you carry very specific words in your heart. You hope for things. You believe for things. You feel God's got a destiny, a plan, a purpose for you, your situation, but you've got to hear the word. It's not enough just to think it. You've got to mix it with faith. You've got to step out in the direction of that word being fulfilled. Mix it with faith and mix it with patience, and God will come through. A lot of people say to me when it comes to faith, "Well, Russell, You've got great faith. Liz Jolly's got great faith. You know, this person's got great faith. I haven't got great faith. Can I challenge that? Can I challenge that? Because I don't believe that's true. There are two examples in Scripture that say if you have these two bits of faith, these two elements of faith, you have great faith. You have great faith able to work miracles. What are the two things? Number one, it says in Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews 11, 1 to 3. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof that we can of what we cannot see. It was their faith that made our ancestors pleasing to God. Because of our faith, we know that the world was made at God's command. We also know that what can be seen was made out of what cannot be seen. Put your hand up if you believe God spoke something out of nothing. You see, the Word of God says you've got great faith. If you believe that God spoke something out of nothing and there's a purpose for your life, you're not a random molecule that evolved from other random molecules that evolved from some cosmic atom splitting or imploding billions of years ago, that God created life out of nothing. And you're here for a purpose. You have great faith. Don't let anyone say you don't have faith to work miracles. Scripture says you've got it. Another example of great faith. You remember the story of Thomas? Now, Thomas was a great man of God. We often call him Doubting Thomas. But he was a great man of God. God used him greatly, historically. And Thomas, when he was hearing that Jesus was raised from the dead, said, I'm not going to believe it. I won't believe it until I see the scars in his hands and I put my fingers in his side. And Jesus comes along and he sees Thomas full of grace, full of mercy. He says, Thomas, see the scars in my hands? Thomas, put your hand in my side. And Thomas says, Lord, I believe. And Jesus said, those that believe in me who have not seen have great faith. Blessed are they. If you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and Jesus lives as Lord and Savior now, put your hand up. You've got great faith. You've got great faith. According to the Scripture, you've got great faith. You believe God spoke something out of nothing and God raised Jesus from the dead. You carry great faith. One little story before I close. Back in the 60s, I think it was, there was a giant elephant that was taken around circuses called Jumbo the Elephant. Planes and things got named after Jumbo. But this elephant apparently was absolutely massive. Biggest elephant ever seen in captivity. Powerful, powerful beast. Now, when Jumbo was a little baby elephant, they staked Jumbo with a chain to a 5-meter stake in the ground. And Jumbo would try for days and weeks to pull away. He couldn't do it. When Jumbo became this massive beast of muscle, they just put a little stake in the ground. And Jumbo didn't try and pull out the stake because he knew he couldn't do it. So many of us are like Jumbo. We think, I haven't got great faith. I don't know how to pray for my marriage. I don't know how to believe for this miracle. I don't know how to trust God for it. That's $300 I'm short on my budget this week. No, you're being like Jumbo. Scripture says you've got great faith. Then pull out that stake. Step out in faith and mix it with patience. And you hold fast to the promises of God. And God will turn up. And there will be people in this building who are just very young today. Maybe they're 4 or 5 or 6. Who in 40 years' time, in 50 years' time, in 80 years' time, they can turn around and say, you know what? God keeps his promises all the time. He keeps all of his promises all the time. That's my prayer for you and for me. If you're struggling right now with a situation, you think you haven't got the faith to press through it, you have. Scripture says you have. But it's time to step out. It's time to mix that promise with faith and with patience and to trust God for it. So our pudding's cooking away in the microwave. We're going to watch a little video clip, friends, before I pray for you.
We are all creatures of flesh and dreams. For as long as we can remember, we've seen visions of what our lives might be. We've felt a stirring deep within, a sense that we're summoned to a grander mission, but we're afraid. We wonder if what is against us is stronger than what is for us. Imagine you were asked to write up your own personal balance sheet with assets on one side and liabilities on the other. You might start by listing a home and car, accounts and investments and earning potential on the asset side. And you might have a mortgage and car payments, school debt and credit card debt on the liabilities side, along with all the costs of supporting yourself and your family. If you're like most people, your liabilities loom large, and you wish your assets loomed larger than they did. The world tells you you're on your own, that scarcity rules the earth, and peril plots against you. So you make financial decisions with a fragment of fear in your heart. But what if your balance sheet is dramatically different than you think? What if there are unseen assets and unseen liabilities that could alter the entire equation? If you included your spiritual assets, the balance sheet would change. You have gifts and talents, character and a calling, and a community that will support you in times of trial. If you were to include your theological assets, the balance sheet might well explode. Could there be a more formidable asset than the God of the universe? The same God who created the cosmos and called it to order is for you. And if that same God is so fully for you that he sent his son to die for you, what is there to fear? We have promises from the most trustworthy source in the universe that God will honor those who humble themselves, will repay whoever is generous with the poor, will provide for those who seek first his kingdom. When we believe these promises, we're liberated to deploy all things for his mission and his kingdom. How would your life be different if you believed, without the slightest shadow of doubt, that God would fulfill every last promise?
Family, I want you to stand with me, please. And as you're standing, I want you just to bring to mind something at the moment that takes some real faith for you. You've been thinking, wow, maybe I can't do this. Maybe I don't have great enough faith for it. Some challenge you face, some obstacle in your way. I want you to bring that to mind. I want the Holy Spirit now to speak to you about a promise God's given you regarding that, a vision, regarding that situation. I'm going to read the last verse of Joshua 21:45 again. Instead of Israel, I'm going to pause and allow you to put your name and your family's name in there. The Lord promised to do many good things for. And he will keep his promises every time. Take the promise to your heart, trust that it's true, but then step out in faith and step out with patience. And you'll see that God is good. He's always good. He's always faithful. And he keeps his promises every time. The Lord bless you. The Lord impart to you gifts of faith this morning. The Lord cause you to see things differently from how you have in the past. May you realize you're not like Jumbo the elephant, chained up to a little stake. You're the giant with much power, much authority placed within you. May you step into that promised land, that destiny, the things God's prophesied and put into your heart. He's prophesied over your life. And may you live life and live it to the full in Jesus' name. Amen. Gosh, that was good timing with the cake, wasn't it? You think I'd organize that? Bless you, friends. If you're new, we'd love you to stay and get a coffee, barista voucher from the information desk. So good to have your fellowship this morning.